Well, good morning, everyone. We welcome you all to worship, and we're going to stay seated for our first hymn as we prepare ourselves for worship. So we're going to start by singing number 50, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. The Holy One is here. Thank you, Jo. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy, let all creation rejoice before the Lord. Now our next hymn is missing. That's because it's a new one. And if I said, try and find 1267, you'd find it's not in your hymn book. So the words are going to appear. Thank you. I'm sure he's doing it on purpose. It's a lovely praise hymn. Come, people of the risen King, who delight to bring him praise. And Joe has been playing it before the service, haven't you, Joe? So we will stand to sing this one today. Thank you, Joe.
Bring him praise. Sovereign God, we draw close and learn of you, so that we might know, love, and serve you better. Receive then the worship we bring, and meet us through it, speaking your word, offering your guidance, imparting your strength, and granting your mercy. Give us a clearer understanding of your will and help us to recognise everything in our lives that conspires against it, that leads us astray, separating us from you and one another. Grant us grace to resist temptation and to walk in your way, now and always. Amen. Shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us in temptation our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Don't you announce the next one? We're having a next hymn. Again, it's one of the gaps. Again, if you look, you won't find it in our hymn books. And it's called Speak, O Lord, As We Come to You. We have sung this some time ago. Oh, Louise, you're doing a solo. Well, we will listen to Louise sing this song. As I say, we have sung it before, so you might well recognise it when Louise sings it. I'll hand over to Louise then.
Thank you, Louise. Several spot services ago, we chose our favourite parables to talk about. And Sally chose the one about the 10 bridesmaids or the 10 virgins, whichever translation you're using. And that stuck with me. And the hymn 167, Give Me Oil in My Lamp, is based on that parable. I have to say, that hymn really spoke to me when I was looking at it in one of my quiet times. And so the idea developed, and today we're going to look at each verse and see what it means to different people. The hymn is very simple in design, with the words repeated, but I think the words so simply written can be a challenge for us. Psalm 18 has these verses, 28 and 29. You, Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help, I can advance against the troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Such wonderful words, such a comfort. With my God, I can scale a wall. Well, let's not try that right now, but it shows us that there's nothing to fear. Dot's going to give us our reading from Matthew 25. It's the parable of the 10 virgins. And this parable was told just before Jesus was arrested. And it links really well into the period of Lent, preparing ourselves for Easter. Jesus told this parable to clarify further what it means to be ready for his return and how to live until he comes. In this parable, we're told that every person is responsible for his or her spiritual condition. So I'll hand over to Dot.
Our reading is from page 994, Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13. The parable of the 10 virgins. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." Amen.
We're going to sing again. We're going to sing 167, but this is where you need to listen. Sorry, teacher coming in. You're only going to sing the first verse and the chorus, and then you're going to stop. Okay? And that's how it's going to go. So thank you, Joe. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. The parable's about a wedding. The bridesmaids are waiting for the procession, but the bridegroom is late. That's what often happens in those sorts of weddings. And half of them had run out of oil with their lamps. And by the time they'd purchased extra oil, it was too late to join the feast. And it explains when Jesus returns that we need to be ready. Our spiritual preparation, it can't be bought or borrowed at the last minute. We need a relationship with God. And that must be our own relationship, not anybody else's. But the hymn is based on the parable. But I think there's more in there than these words. I think the words "give me" are a bit of a demand. We demand from God. It should be a prayer asking God for oil. And to me, in the way my mind works, the lamp needs fuel for it to burn. And we need fuel to keep us going. We need the daily things, food and water, rest and shelter to keep us alive. But I find we need that fuel that God can give us. And whenever I pray and read my Bible, if I'm worshipping in church, singing all the hymns, listening to the sermons, God is feeding me, preparing me for the week ahead. But he does that in my heart, with the Holy Spirit building me up. Sometimes we seem to be running on empty. We get tired. We think things can't get any worse. And we seem to be pulled in many different directions. And then they do get worse. We lose a special friend. The diagnosis isn't what we expected. And then something practical, like the washing machine, goes wrong. We all know these situations. We need that fuel to keep us burning. Life being a Christian doesn't mean we won't face problems and trials. But we have that hope, that knowledge that Jesus will be beside us in whatever we face. And we have that love of God that never goes away. And that all-encompassing peace that can surround us if only we ask Jesus to be our friend. And if we ask him to come into our lives and give us that love in our hearts, we can kneel at his feet and ask him to forgive our sins and be a friend for life. Yet God calls every one of us to be lights in our community. We need to keep that oil topped up in our lamps and keep burning for him. Sometimes that light may be burning brightly. Other times it might be flickering on and off. But the flame will never go out with God by our side. James Dillett Freeman wrote these wonderful words. "A light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. And the presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is." And so later, as we leave this place of worship today, help us to give our little lamp a little wipe. Get rid of that dust that's stopping the light coming out and shining brightly. And dedicate the week ahead to burning, living your lives as people that you were called to be, shining a light and love into the situations we face. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we know each one of us so intimately. Help us to look to you this coming week, knowing that whatever we face, you are beside us. Help us to keep our lamp burning and letting your love shine into all the places we find ourselves this week. In all those conversations, let our love shine through. Amen. Now this time we're going to stand up to sing verse 2. Make me a fisher of men, keep me seeking. Thank you, Joe.
Looking through this parable, it's interesting that Jesus before, in the chapter before, was talking about his second coming, and this seemed to be the end parable about it. And when I read it, it was interesting. Debbie said, we need to keep our lamps burning, and we have the foolish bridesmaids and the wise ones. And it's quite interesting the fact that they fell asleep. And then when they woke up, the foolish bridesmaids decided they might need a bit of oil, as Debbie said, and decided that maybe the wise ones might lend a bit, you know. But they didn't, and off they went to get their oil. When they came back, the door was shut. But what is interesting is the fact that they knocked on a door and they obviously expected it to be opened. But the reply, as Jesus said, you know, they said, Lord, open the door for us. And the reply was, truly I tell you, I don't know you. And I was wondering how many people, when Christ comes again, will be the same. Will be knocking at the door saying, well, Lord, I did good things. I helped people. Why aren't you letting me in? And the reply will be the same, but I don't know you. And as the verse says, make me fishers of men. Now, people out there in our street, our neighbours even, who maybe have the wrong idea of how they're going to get to heaven. There are people that actually, and especially this sort of generation, who have no knowledge of God whatsoever. Children don't go to Sunday school now. Christ isn't talked about in the home. So there's a whole generation that don't know anything about God at all. As the chorus says, we then need to be fishers of men. We need to go and tell them about God. Otherwise they might get to the door and they won't. God will say, I just don't know you. So God will make us fishers men. He doesn't expect us. The disciples, when God called them, didn't suddenly go out and evangelize. You know, they took time to learn from Jesus. Then they went out and evangelized. And God will give us the strength and the encouragement. And if you're like me, you need bucket loads of encouragement. To talk to people about God. And it's interesting that when people say to me, what have you done? I'm quite happy to talk about the coffee I had with a friend in a cafe and what I did. But to actually have Jesus in the conversation is very hard. I don't know about you, I find it very difficult. I might say, oh, I go to church. And then the conversation wanders off to, oh, I had coffee with so-and-so on so-and-so. But we don't use Jesus in our everyday conversations because it's very hard. Because people can look at us, they can reject us, they can laugh at us, they can never talk to us again, or think that's a very strange person down the road who keeps talking about God. So it's very difficult. Well, God will equip us to be fishers of men. He will equip us to give us situations where we can talk to people, but it's hard. It's hard. But unless we do that, people won't know. And I say, people have strange ideas. They think, well, you know, if I'm good, I'll go to heaven. If I come to church, I'll go to heaven. You know, if I help with the coffee, I'll go to heaven. If I go to Bible study, I'll go to heaven, because that makes us a good person. But we need to explain to people that it's a living relationship. As Debbie said, it's a relationship between us and God. That is, you know, and that is why he said to the virgins, I don't know you. That relationship is not there. I don't know you. So how do we learn to be fishers of men? We need to have this relationship with God. We need to pray to God. We need to study his Bible. And in, you know, if you come to a situation, we need to pray. Prayer isn't just, you know, an hour in the morning. You don't leave God in your bedroom or wherever you pray to him and then wander off and do your day. You need to pray continuously, and if there's a situation that you're frightened of, something, you know, you think, no, I can't do this, God, you know, I know you sent this person to me and I just can't say anything about you to them. We need to pray for encouragement and for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit will give us words to say, and it can be just be in conversations, ordinary conversations, the everyday conversations of how God has helped us in a certain situation. Those God moments that we can then weave into our conversation, our everyday conversation. God doesn't expect us to be like the Apostle Paul or the other apostles and stand in the corner and preach. He wants us to use our experiences of him in our everyday life. The nitty-gritty of life, as I call it. That is a good way to be a fisher of men. People are more likely to be receptive if you tell them how God has helped you in your daily life than if you preach at them. You know. So, this coming week, I challenge you to pray and myself, and to use those opportunities that God gives us to just weave God in our everyday life and to tell people how he's helped us in, say, the nitty-gritty of life. I ask Philippa to come up.
This is a poem that I found on the internet. Where else do you look for poems? And it's by an American author called Edgar Guest. Is anybody happier because you passed his way? Does anyone remember that you spoke to him today? This day is almost over, and its toiling time is through. Is there anyone to utter now a kindly word of you? Did you give a cheerful greeting to the friend who came along, or a churlish sort of howdy, and then vanish in the throng? Were you selfish, pure, and simple as you rushed along the way? Or is someone mighty grateful for a deed you did today? Can you say tonight, in parting with the day that's slipping fast, that you helped a single brother of the many that you passed? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Does a man whose hopes were fading now with courage look ahead? Did you waste the day or lose it? Was it well or sorely spent? Did you leave a trail of kindness or a scar of discontent. As you close your eyes in slumber, do you think that God would say, "You have earned one more tomorrow by the work you did today"? And now we're going to stand and sing verse 3.
When you last used the word joy, some of you might say, "Well, I said good morning joy as I walked into church this morning." But using the word to describe how you're feeling, well, I can't remember the last time I talked about joy. So what does joy mean? A feeling of great pleasure and happiness. People often mix the feeling of being happy with joy. Let me have a go at explaining what I'm trying to think. You don't have to be happy to experience joy. Joy can be that deep down feeling, that knowing that someone loves you. It can be a warm feeling. And I think of happiness as coming and going, an emotion, where I think of joy as something underlying. Because sometimes that joy takes us by surprise, when we feel that real joy. Have a think about it when you go home. What does joy mean to you? I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to talk about not joy. I'll explain. Jennifer Rees-Larkham writes about stolen joy, and then you'll get what I'm talking about. Some people seem to be able to crush all the joy out of us, perhaps by their constant bad moods or uncontrollable bouts of anger. She goes on, "Actually, it's impossible for anyone to rob us of joy. Because joy is a supernatural gift given to us by Jesus himself. People can definitely rob us of our happiness, which depends on our outward circumstance. But joy is something so deep inside us that only we have the power to let it go. We can do this by reacting to this difficult person with resentment, or if we choose to hold on to Jesus tightly and act as he would, then his joy will remain." Interesting words. I think the hymn writer was trying to convey that deep joy that we can have when we know God as our Lord and Saviour, and knowing that God is always on our side, whatever we have to face. As he promises, he'll love us no matter what. And then he writes, "Keep me singing." Well, I don't know about all of you. Some of you like to sing in the bath. Some of you like to sing in the shower. Some of you seek out a choir and enjoy that amazing feeling as you sing together. A very special moment. I love singing at church. I love the way that we all worship together. It's part of our worship, the singing. And the words and music combine together. And we can really feel that we're worshipping God through our singing. I'm one of those annoyingly cheerful person that always has a song going on in my head. Often it's a hymn. But recently, I've picked up some new songs with Indie. We go to something called Funky Monkey with Katie, and I come back with all sorts of little songs that I can't help singing all week. Yet sometimes, that joy that is deep in my heart, it just flows out, and I find I'm singing while I'm doing the washing up. My joy just exudes out of me, and I burst into song. We need to keep that joy in our hearts. So often we let situations in our lives drain the joy that God gives us. And if we just stop and count our blessings, we can see that God is there and gives us the opportunity to keep singing for him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in your great wisdom and strength. And thank you for being an ever-present help when we need you. We ask that you would send us out from this place with a joyful expectation of what you're going to accomplish in each one of our lives, knowing that you will remain close to us each day. Amen. And we're going to stay seated for the next verse, Joe, please. Which is, give me love in my heart, keep me serving.
To 2003. I was made redundant, having worked for nearly 24 years in industry. I continually applied for new positions, but at the age of 56, nothing was forthcoming. I was on the scrap heap. I signed on at the job centre. I went there a few times, but shortly after that, and almost by chance, I was asked to do some electrical work for a gentleman from the Orpheus Choir, which Louise was the musical director for. This led through further work through friends and recommendation, and it spawned the idea, the mustard seed was sown. And I prayed and I prayed for God's guidance, which led to the decision to branch out on my own. And so I did. I realised that I could serve others using my skills and my knowledge. And in so doing, give back the love, the trust, and the hope that God had given me in my life as a Christian. From that point on, I knew in my heart that I'd made the right decision and the right choice. God gave me the courage to go forward, and indeed, I've never looked back. God's words teach us that everyone has a talent in life. He wants us to use these gifts to help others and in doing so, glorify his name, not ours. So over the past 20 years, I've established, with the help of my loving God and my family, a sound and respected company. Our company name is TLC For You Limited. There's a story behind that. The TLC is not tender loving care, which it could be. It's Tony Louise Child. And we specialise in electrical, plumbing and gas services. And when I had been inspired to work for myself, I thought, if I'm going to do this, I've got to show my Christian faith. And so in our logo, it incorporates the Christian fish symbol in the headed notepaper and on the cards. And that's what I felt that God was leading me to show my Christian faith in what I was doing. Although I'm technically retired, I still remain a backseat, maintain a backseat in the company. And to this end, and hoping to continue serving the Lord through my work, I have just completed a most demanding 4-day course renewing my gas safe engineer qualification. And I thank God that I have successfully passed all the exams and can continue to serve God through my work. The next assessment will be in 2029. I won't tell you how old I'll be. God's love touches my heart and helps me to serve others through my work and here at church. I'm fortunate to serve the Lord in leading our men's regular breakfast meetings. We enjoy a very special time of fellowship together, and it's an honour to be able to serve God this way. And in conclusion, from St John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 26, whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Thanks be to God for where he's put me.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we sleep, we wake. You sustain us, you watch over us, and you never leave us. We praise you for your love that endures forever, that has no limits and it has no end. Forgive us, Lord, when we doubt and try things our own way. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't share with you our full attention. Thank you that your ways are higher than ours, Lord. Help us to fit into your ways. Our God who heals, we bring before you those in our congregation who are ill, in pain, suffering mentally, physically, or emotionally, that through your word it says, in all things we are conquerors in Christ Jesus, and all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or think. So we stand on your promise, giving you all the glory, that you supply all our needs from your glorious riches which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Father of compassion and God of all comfort, we pray for those who have been bereaved. We ask you to draw close to them in their time of need, bringing comfort and strengthen them now and in times ahead. Scripture tells us we will hear of war and rumours of war in the final ages. We pray, Father, for your will to be done. We're lifting up the innocent men, women and children, and we pray for protection and provision for them. Father, we pray for those who lead here. We ask for your blessing and to be filled with your wisdom and revelation of your word as the Holy Spirit directs and leads. Thank you for your light that shines brightly in this place, illuminating your word with truth and love. Amen.
Thank you, Tricia. We're going to stand and sing our last hymn, 178, Go Forth and Tell, O Church of God Awake. 178. Thank you, Jen. Today, to surround you on all sides with his love. May Jesus be with you today, to accompany you wherever you go. May the Spirit be with you today, to fill you with love, joy, and hope for the future. May Father, Son, and Spirit be with you today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. There's one notice. We're preparing for Easter breakfast, and there's a list to sign up in the hall if you're joining us for Easter breakfast. So, thank you very much, Joe.